The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. However you're taking us in, we do appreciate it on a football Friday. Football, football, football. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Kelly, it's happening.
What's up, man?
What's happening?
How are you doing?
Oh, man. Fridays are great because Matt Brown will hang with us just to talk NFL for
a
few seconds.
He showed up early for some reason today.
He was worried about the F1 traffic, he said.
He showed up like a half hour early.
It's like the closer we get to the race, he's more worried to get here on time.
Yeah, I don't know if that logic works, right? Shouldn't it be, as we get closer to the race, more major road construction is finished and done?
Well, based on how far behind they are on construction, you are correct.
Okay.
Yes. If they were all about it and on top of it, Matt's theory would have been right.
I guess I didn't actually. Are we behind on construction?
I just gave it the eye test.
Okay.
We look like we're behind.
I just thought it was like the, what if we put an F1 race in the middle of the strip? What could go wrong? And now it's like, oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff to work through.
Hey, if people coming to town, I'm like, you shouldn't come to town. You really shouldn't. Just wait. Just wait a few weeks.
You know how many tweets and stuff we've gotten either from the show or whatever, people letting us know, hey, they're coming in town, but for they're avoiding that weekend specifically? Yeah, you should.
As they should. We will talk NFL with Matt Brown this hour. We'll go to college football with the Bear, Chris Felica, and of course, Dr. Bob. I hope Dr. Bob understands he has double duty this week. He was on the Megapod yesterday. He was outstanding with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and myself. So we'll talk college football with him as well. And then Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, because Kelly, special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Series begins tonight. I don't know if you know that. No?
You do?
Yes. Okay. I'm just curious. It wasn't rhetorical. By the way, this, you know what this matchup needed? 2 days off for everybody to stew on it. What's wrong? You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. I'm just making sure you're all right.
Having communications.
I'm just doing a show over here. Don't you worry about it. I'll just roll. All right. Last night, let's start with football last night before we get to baseball. Buffalo Bills, 24. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 18. In the ultimate, you know, I call this stuff Plinko in the NFL. The Price is Right game, for those who don't know the analogy, where the metal chip bounces from rung to rung and then speeds up at the end, and then it falls into any slot that it just randomly falls into. That's betting pre-flop ATS in the National Football League. Not only was this Plinko, this was literal Plinko, as we had deflections and balls bouncing off helmets. And somehow, and I do mean somehow, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get the money, even though they lose this football game 24-18. Bills, you know, I don't want to use the word dominated, though some would say they dominated, at least in terms of total yards. They did 427-302. So in that sense, they dominated the football game. But essentially, it was 10-0 Bills, then it got tied up at 10-10. But the Bills had a 24-10 lead within the first 5 minutes of the second half. And at that point, when they matriculated the ball down the field and took that 2-touchdown lead, two things entered most folks' mind, which is, oh, okay, well, the Bills just going to run away with this. They were, you know, anywhere between 9, 9.5, 10-point favorites at the end of this betting arc, if you will, prior to the game. They're going to run away with this, and oh, by the way, this is also going to soar over, because the total was anywhere between 43 and 41.5. There was actually some 41.5s earlier in the week, so depending on where you got this, nobody scored a darn thing until the very end of this one. It's just unbelievable. There's an array of punts and questionable punt decisions, by the way, in some cases. And it came down to Tampa Bay getting the football back with 10 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game, down 24-10. So you're still down the 2 touchdowns. They started at their own 8-yard line. This drive was 17 plays, 92 yards, and took 7 minutes and 41 seconds of the most non-urgent minutes you will ever see in your life from a team down 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
And by the way, the drive, which ended up being, as I said, 17 plays, was extended by 2 defensive penalties on 4th downs, an illegal contact and a face mask penalty on 4th downs. And so when you thought the Bucs were off the field, this was going to end probably 24-10, they just kept going. And so, pardon me, just getting over it. If you had the Buffalo Bills laying the points in this, this was just, that was bad enough. The 2 defensive penalties to extend it. And then with with the bottom line is on the back end of this drive, Mayfield to Evans off of Christian Benford's helmet from 24 out. Then they went, that was the touchdown. Yeah. And then they went for two. By the way, that was also tipped by Jordan Poyer. Went from Mayfield to Kate Otten. Your final score, 24-18. Though Buffalo did have to withstand a Hail Mary, I should point out at the end of this game, a Hail Mary that if you could have bet on, no one will touch the Hail Mary and it will hit the floor. It will hit the ground before anyone touches it. You would have cashed big plus money there too. The other little point of this, so by the way, if you're a Bills backer, my condolences to you. If you're a over player who didn't have the 41.5 and had the worst of the total, my condolences to you as well. I do want to point out one other thing. For those who listen to the Megapod, we had the great Stevie Fezzik on week one of the Megapod, and me and Will got in a debate with Fezzik and Todd. Fezzik made the outlandish claim at the time that not only did he invent the question mark, but that he also thought that 80% of the teams in the NFL now understood that if they're down 14, they should take the 2-point conversion. I questioned that aggressively. Will and I were like, there's no way it's 80%. We've kind of tracked this year. It's about 50%. So it's still higher than I thought it was.
Well, that was my guess.
50, yeah. by the way, it might even be a tick ahead of 50, a tick north of 50%. It's not 80. We were right that it's not 80. But Todd Bowles did it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bowles is not exactly the poster child for who you would think would be analytics, progressive, forward-thinking kind of guy. So 24-18 it ends up. And I don't know, all of that in the wash, Kelly. What's your... Isn't the biggest takeaway from this, just from a helicopter viewpoint, the Bills are just kind of just lollygagging through the early middle portion of the schedule?
Here's my big, massive takeaway from this game last night. Josh Allen went 31 for 40, 324 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns, 41 rushing yards. What is wrong with Josh Allen, though? There's something clearly wrong with Josh Allen.
There was a point in that game where it looked like he may not be able to go. Yeah. He had to go in the tent. Kyle Allen was warming up at that point, but Josh never missed a snap in this ball
game. This is an arm thing that's been going on all year. He was on the injury report earlier in the year with this stuff. I thought, man, it might have been a little bit of slightly irresponsible reporting, I thought, on the broadcast last night with some of the things they were saying about Josh Allen in the arm and how he couldn't raise it during a celebration and stuff. And I didn't really know exactly what that had to do with an injury right away when they were saying that. But I do think there is, you look at some of his rushing numbers this year, they're not making him run the ball more, and or they're not having him run the ball as much as he usually is in years past. And I don't know about you, Gil, but this is kind of like Lamar. Like, you're not going to turn Lamar Jackson into a pocket passer and go win a Super Bowl. You're not going to turn Josh Allen, as good as his arm is, into a pocket passer and go win a Super Bowl. And if they're concerned about him getting hit, I'm concerned about betting on this team going forward.
They're 5-3. Now, with 17-game NFL schedules, that's not quite the halfway mark. We get that. But it's essentially that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it in your mind's eye and you're like, okay, Buffalo Bills, what's their appropriate record? Wouldn't it just be, you'd be like, yeah, 5-3. Yeah. That's exactly what they should be.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they are. You are what your record is.
Yeah,
something like that, as Bill Parcells once said.
The defense has gotten beaten up, and that's, if they get some guys back, I think this team can still be really good. But I've got quarterback concerns.
But they're not getting some of these guys back, right?
Those guys are not coming back, yeah.
Milano and Tre'Davious White, it's a tough situation in Buffalo in terms of thinking of them as a legit Super Bowl contender, which 3-4 weeks ago, after they had crushed 3 teams in a row by hefty double-digit numbers, we weren't talking that way. But boy, they have just been sort of a middling team since then. So the Bills get the win, but the Bucks backers get the money on just a ridiculous, like, I don't even know what I was watching down the stretch of that game. Just a plodding 17-play, 92-yard drive that took 7:41 off the clock. Baseball does resume tonight. World Series game number 1. In the interest of being thorough, we should point out it's Arizona at Texas tonight. for all the marbles, for those of you who have futures like Steven Vegas, who has Texas to beat Arizona in an exacta, man, I know you are locked into this. Rangers game one price is not quite what the series price is. It's a little shy of that, but we're showing minus 152, plus 142 on the Diamondbacks, on the dime line, on the comeback for game one tonight. It is Zach Gallen going up against Nathan Eovaldi of the Rangers. Eovaldi has been just unbelievable in this postseason, really just sort of drifting off previous postseasons for him. But, you know, right before the postseason, he had, if you recall, again, we weren't thinking of him this way. He had some starts, namely against the Seattle Mariners, where he went five innings, he gave up five earned runs, then he went 3 1/3 at Seattle, he gave up 7 earned runs. So he went into the postseason, and everybody thought, oh, this guy is not going to be able to perform. But Eovaldi found that postseason magic. He's 4-0 in the postseason. Game two in the wild card round against the Rays. He pitched in the ALDS against the Orioles. Game three, those were a pair of 7-1 Rangers wins. He got the win in both of those. Then game two and game six of the ALCS against the Astros, where the Rangers got both of those wins. So he's 4-0 with a 2.42 ERA in those games. 28 Ks against just 4 free passes and a 0.96 whip. The whip. Zach Gallen, not so much, even though he was a Cy Young candidate in the National League to some extent this year. 2-2 this postseason, but an ERA north of 5 with 13 Ks against 9 walks and a whip near 1.5 at 1.48. So, and he started with 2 nice wins, both in the wild card round and the DS. But then in the National League Championship Series against the Phillies, he lost twice. So no shame in that. But Eovaldi is the appropriate favorite. I got nothing in game one. I got nothing on the series. Yeah.
I'll have to wait for Weingarten. What am I supposed to watch a baseball game tonight without a bet on it? Come on.
He'll have a bet. I'm sure he'll have a bet. I just don't. Just because it's there doesn't mean I'm going to bet it. And I don't on this one. This is appropriately priced to me. Matt Brown joins us on the other side to talk National Football League. Our picks as well. Football on a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VEASAN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get a full VEASAN Pro access package to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VEASAN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, live from Bar Cannon at the D. At this time, each and every Friday, we are thrilled to have the host, the co-host of The Handle, along with Mike Somich here at the network with us, and the host of the All Angles podcast, which he does twice a week, where all podcasts are available. It's Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, Mateo?
Apologies to the All Angles listeners as we started out this week 0-1. Apologies to everybody out there. I did have the over 42.5 in that game last night. So
brutal.
Yeah, pretty brutal on the final outcome there, but it is what it is. We move on. Hey, it can only get better. You know, it can only get better this week.
Good spin.
Yeah.
Good spin.
Yeah.
You see Kelly's, first of all, before we get to the football picks, do you see Kelly's calf, by the way, from our field goal kicking escapade?
Yeah. I got a good look at it. It's
shot him the other day.
It's, you know, I mean, here's the thing. It could have been worse. That's how I look at it.
I guess it could have.
I could have fully torn my calf.
You grabbed at the back of your, as if it were an Achilles. We thought it immediately, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of hilarious, but not hilarious because it's like, you know, Gil with the Achilles. All we talk about is all these Achilles injuries, and we're kind of like, oh my God, Kelly on a fielding a punt, like is going to tear his Achilles.
That's why it was good to have Gil there. Like Gil put me through all the checks immediately. He cleared me immediately.
This was true. We were like, you know what? Okay, that's out of the way. Now it could be a ton of other terrible things, but that is at least out of the equation.
It was do the three of us know about? Well, one of us knows about Achilles.
Yeah. So we're like, what's some of these other buzz injuries? Is this a Liz Frank injury that you have right now. Like, is this what's going on? Like, no. Okay, we can rule that out. Let's go.
Just a reminder, though, to everybody out there who has watched that field goal video, the portion of it where it says Matt's made field goals, there is at least one or two in there where I am still dying behind him, like 10 yards back. Gil is tending to me.
Tending.
And Matt's just drilling through field goals.
Listen, I had to prove it to myself, okay? I needed some validation. I needed to do it. I found out you were fine, it was just like, you know, it was like,
Matt he couldn't wait to tell you, I made that last one. Kelly's writhing in pain. Anyway, the video went over well.
It's good stuff.
All right, so you had the over yesterday. Again, 24-10, less than 5 minutes into the second half. It looked like it would soar over that. It did not. And so we come to Sunday.
Yeah.
What's your of all your plays, give us your number one to start with.
Okay, let's talk about ones that you could probably still get.
Yes, let's do that.
At least in the realm of possibilities with the numbers, I still like Seattle this week. And I know that number's gone and it's on the other side of three, but Cleveland, I understand that the defense is good, but they're not going to be able to score any points. I mean, like, their quarterback situation is maybe the worst in the NFL right now. It doesn't matter who they run out there, because it's just like nobody can perform. Weirdest thing ever with this Deshaun Watson thing, too. We were like cruising down the road of maybe worst contract ever.
So, you know, we're doing that.
Yeah,
for sure. But we got into this a little at the end of the Megapod yesterday, because I have said, boy, this is a little odd. And Kelly, I want to say, I don't want to speak for you, was a little more aggressive with it, where you're like, oh, I think there's a bigger story here. What I'm trying to say with this is, just the way that the injury was rolled out to us was very odd.
Yes.
Are you suggesting, I'm going to Kelly now, are you suggesting that you think there might even be something else going on?
I don't want to necessarily say that. Okay. It was just more I felt like I was the only one wondering about this, like in week two, week three, when they were being weird with it, with injury stuff and Deshaun Watson. And, you know, as soon as Watson, what was it, the Ravens game, right, where he got cleared for that before, didn't play in it, and then they went on the bye, and then nobody would talk about it from the team, and then they like made Deshaun Watson go up there and speak to reporters about it, and he didn't really say anything. That's where I have major, major questions about the near future of Deshaun Watson and the near future of Josh Allen. I just don't know how healthy these guys
are. Not to knock you off your soliloquy here, but that's beyond this game. That's sort of like, we
exactly.
don't know.
We should, yeah. I mean, it's something we still have to look at the macro with these teams, right? And I mean, I think that that's a big thing with the Browns. If you don't know who's going to be playing quarterback, how can you at all think that this isn't basically a two-team division at this point? I'm still not bought in on the Steelers, and that's just me. Maybe they fix something in the bye on the offense. Maybe Deontay Johnson being back out there is going to be enough to make this team be able to get up and down the field. That's to be played out. But if you can eliminate the Browns, which, by the way, I had the Browns in our little preseason stuff as a playoff team, you know, but if you can eliminate them now, you start to look at this North and you go, okay, the Ravens are good for sure, but what if Joe Burrow's fixed, right? What if, whatever, is it worth putting in a 4-1 or over 4-1 on Cincinnati right now to take the North? Because if you can take the Browns out of the equation, I don't buy into the Steelers anyway. So now it's a head-to-head essentially between Cincinnati and Baltimore. I'll take the, it's a number play, right? But I would take the over 4-1 on Cincinnati in that scenario. But again, it depends on what you think about Pittsburgh. I necessarily am not bought in quite yet on all that. I honestly don't think Pickett is the dude.
They're the worst 4-2 team that ever was or ever will be until I sit here next year and say there's a 4-2 team.
I said that yesterday. I said we didn't have Aaron Schatz here, but I wonder if he would have them as the worst 4-2 team ever in his DVOA. But you're laying the 3.5 with Seattle.
So Kelly and I did this little program this past week in which as the lines are coming out, we are live reacting and then putting in bets as this goes. So this is on the other side of three for me. So it's a 2.5 for me.
I see.
But even at 3.5.
I agree. Yeah.
Like even at 3.5, I would still, I know it's not optimal. You always want to get the best of the number. We preach that. We scream about this here on the network. But there are people who are watching this today who had made a single bet. And so if that were the case, I would still be more at, I would still be more inclined to lay the 3.5 than I would be to take it with Cleveland, because even if Cleveland can dirty this game up with the defense and they can kind of make it a slog, I just don't see a path to victory from a scoring standpoint on Cleveland's side. I mean, and now the Jerome Fort, now the backup of the backup is beat up and all this. It's just, it's a bad situation there for them.
The total in that game, by the way, is 38, which is not even, or even some 37 and a halves out there, which is not even close to being the lowest total of the week in the NFL. That belongs to the Falcons and the Titans at 35. There's actually another game in between them as well, which has a total in the 30s, which is the Giants and the Jets at 36 and a half, 37.
Real quick on this game, Matt, do you think Brown Seahawks, you know, Kenneth Walker, pretty questionable. Do you think he's going to get ruled out or play? Or if he does get ruled out, do you think that could have maybe moved this back to three for some people?
I mean, maybe. I'm not too worried about that from my personal handicap. I mean, I know Charbonnet is not Kenneth Walker, but they've got guys that can come in and they've got guys that can fill in. And quite honestly, if you look at this, the Browns, for whatever reason, the secondary has been where you can kind of get them here lately. And so I expect more of a pass heavy approach anyway from Seattle. So the Kenneth Walker thing doesn't really affect my handicap all that much.
Last thing on this, because we do our power rankings as so many people do. And when Kelly and I do it, it's sort of like, you know, it's the top seven teams are fairly agreed upon. After that, it becomes more of a difference in opinion. Where do you have the Seahawks in yours?
Yeah. So,
and where do you have the Browns for that matter?
Me? Guys, I don't know if you know.
Right now, Gil has, let's see.
Yeah.
I got them 8-9.
Okay, I have the Seahawks 9 and the Browns like 11-12. Because that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And you have, yes, 8-9.
8-9.
Seahawks 8. Browns,
all right.
9.
So,
but it's sort of one of these, well, who else am I going to put there?
Kind Chiefs, of. Eagles, Niners, Dolphins, Ravens, Jags, Cowboys.
Oh, wow. That's
Jags.
Okay.
All right. Jags were my 10.
Bills, Lions, since Seahawks 11.
Seahawks 11.
Yeah.
Browns where? Do you know?
Yeah. So Browns are down at Browns are down at 14, mainly because I still was at the so I did this on Monday, right? Yeah. So I was still under the impression that Deshaun Watson was still going to be a quarterback in the NFL. I would probably downgrade them a little bit more at this point, given what we know, which is like he doesn't even really know when he's coming back. So at that point, I can't look at him kind of.
And do you still have the notion that when he does come back, whenever that day is, short or far, that he is that much better than what we're seeing?
It would be the most epic collapse of talent maybe that we've seen. Like, much more rapid than any of these other ones that we've seen ever. Because, again, 2.5 years ago, if you said, who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL? He's in everybody's list. He's in literally in everyone's list.
Of course, sure.
To think that we are now talking about this guy being washed, not coming off of a major injury. That's the crazy thing.
Right.
It's like it'd be different if we're going, shoulder injury or knee injury. He used to be mobile. Now he's not, et cetera. You know, all the things like that. Like, no, he just didn't play. And while he was not playing, he forgot how to play.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Didn't mean to sidetrack you like
that. No. This is good conversation. This is good conversation.
Because we got into it with Dr. Bob yesterday. Like, what team do you have higher than the rest of the conventional wisdom? What team do you lower? The team he had higher was the Patriots, which I found interesting. So it's always interesting to hear where people land on those, not really the elite or the bottom, where they land on the middle.
And I would be lower probably on the Patriots than everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's higher on them. We'll come back. More of Matt's picks for the weekend. Week 8 in the National Football League. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Matt, did you want to add anything to that read at all?
I think you've done very, very well. ZYN.com.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That's Matt Brown, everybody. He's the host of the All Angles podcast and, of course, the handle here, Weekends at the Network, talking football with us. How's your NFL season gone so far, by the way?
Been good. Last week could have been a disaster, and then the afternoon rallied for us, which was good. Morning was not good. Afternoon was good, so got back to got back to about normal there. But it's been good so far. I haven't, you know, and this was strictly just a product. This is one, wasn't a fundamental change on my end. It was just a strictly product of kind of how I view these teams and how things are going this season, which has changed drastically for me this week. But hadn't been a ton of like teaser situations because of the way that just the lines have come out, the way that the injury news has trickled out, the way that I view a lot of these teams where I think that the range of outcomes is so incredibly wide that I didn't want to get involved with all that. And then of course, then I have five different ones this, you know, this week, which just was all kind of anchored around the Bills, which want to point this out. So this is a unique situation this week, which I thought was a good one for people to take advantage of if they were going to play a bunch of teasers this week, which was we always want information as soon as humanly possible, which we talk about, you know, you see it last night, right, with the going for two and, you know, then, you know, okay, if we score a touchdown, we can get a kick extra point, win the game. Like if you play poker, the best reason to be on the button is because everyone has to act in front of you. And you know, you've got as much information as possible by the time you have to act. Well, I really like the Bills as a teaser leg this week, right? And taking them down to 2.5. So then I just paired them up with a bunch of all the other ones in throughout the course of the week. And guess what? If the Bills leg loses, then I can just re-up, right? And like whenever we come in on Sunday, but I would have the information already there, right? I would already know, as opposed to pairing up a bunch of these other legs that I like, I could go ahead and just pair it up with the Bills and know if I've got a winning leg already. And if that's not the case and the Bills would have lost for me, I could come in and then redo some of these in other fashion, you know, somewhere along the way.
It's like when you're down 14 and you go for two after the first touch.
He said that at the very beginning of that. He said that. Matt Brown right here, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, what you just said. So it wasn't because you liked the Bills leg the most necessarily. Right. It was because it was chronologically the first.
It gave me a chance to either be in a great position like I am right now, which is a leg already home, heading into a bunch of other legs that I think are you know, at least fairly likely to get there. Or if I bust out and crap out, which this is not a strategy for everybody because some people's risk tolerance isn't as high as mine. But right. If I crap out early on, I can come back in and kind of re-up on some of these that I do like a little bit better than some of the others. So that's kind of why I've like got Bills attached to all of these other ones throughout the course of the week.
As a practice, you're usually king one team with all your teasers, though.
A lot of times. Yeah. A lot of times. Yeah. This was just a very unique situation in which you know, it happened to be on a Thursday, so we get so much information ahead of time, which just made it great. And, you know, would have been terrible had this had it not gotten home, but you know, it's there for us now.
I'm the opposite this week because I've got multiple tied into the Lions, so it's watching everything play out until Monday night that you get to sweat really hard.
You've got the Bills, so you'll have it all end up with that. You've got the Bills paired with the Vikings, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Lions.
And I have to be honest, this might be just a complete blind spot in me this week, but I love every single one of those legs. I love every single one of those legs.
Kelly and I did our teaser segment, and we kind of felt the same way. We're like, which one of these loses? And usually it's the opposite. We're like, okay, which are the
only... You can spot it, right? Yeah. You know the landmine.
Yeah.
Especially all the chalky favorites, right? And that's kind of what Matt went to, too. Vikings, the only dog he teased up here. But yeah, it was all the big favorites teasing down.
I'll ask it this way, though. If I did come to you on Monday and I said, well, one of them lost, or let's say Tuesday, one of them lost, which one is it?
I mean, I guess the Vikings. I mean, while I don't like this Packers team, I think Jordan Love is actually probably, I mean, statistically, we already know he's one of the bottom, you know, 6-7 quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think just from I think we've seen enough of a body of work right now that it seems like, maybe if he were to reach his ceiling would be slightly below league average. I just don't think that you can see the stuff. You know how you like just get it sometimes with guys? Like you can watch, and even though Bryce Young has struggled so far, like he hasn't made a ton of just completely boneheaded plays. It's just, you know, and you're kind of like, you know what? I could see maybe him getting it somewhere along the way. Obviously, Stroud has looked amazing, and but like you see Love, and it's just like three just complete numbskull plays like a game, and you're just going, that's not gonna change, right? Like you can't shake that. Like that's just like something inside of him that he's not gonna be able to get rid of. So I don't know. I'm not buying in on the Packers very much. That being said, Hockenson injury bothers me a little bit with the Vikings. Obviously, you're already without Jefferson, so there's that one is the one that I think that bothers me the most is the Vikings leg.
Numbskull cashes on the show this morning.
Yeah,
point that out.
Well, here's the thing. As I sit here, anyone that's spent a time around me outside of, you know, this, whatever, I curse words sent tend to come.
No. No.
So as I'm sitting here and I want to call some, or something like a play a certain way or whatever, my brain is like going overload. I'm like, listen, Matt, you're on air. You cannot say numbskull is what ended up coming to my.
It's the casual setting, know? I think.
It's one of those things.
Let's do your props here before we get to the other side. So one of them is involved in that Vikings game.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Cam Akers, and this is more of a looking at these guys' role and then going from there, right? Which is Cam Akers over 7.5 receiving yards. If you look at Cam Akers, they are using him more, and so his usage rate is up. And so with his usage rate being up and him getting more snaps, I expect that to continue on a little bit further. There are a lot of guys out there who were screaming this in the offseason, and I was kind of blind to this. I think maybe because there were flashes here and there, but they were saying Madison's really inefficient, right? Like they were like, no, this is not kind of a one-for-one trade with Cook. It's like Madison he's fine, but he's not like a true number one. I think the Vikings proved that whenever they went out and got Akers in the first place because they started to notice it. And so you can see that his usage in this offense has trickled up over the last couple of weeks. And so getting a number, I think, like this as low as it is at 7.5, as long as we get a few more snaps, like I imagine we're going to get, where I think they kind of want to get to where it was, you know, it was like 70-30, then it was like 60-40. I think they'd rather get the flip of that, which is Akers 60-40 to Madison, and then maybe even Akers 70-30 to Madison somewhere along the way, because the more talented guy is Akers, is Akers had a bad attitude. You know, he was upset over there. He wasn't getting the goal line touches and all that, and he's like, I got to score touchdowns. That's how I get a raise. And so he was mad about that, and so now he's out of there.
And he's mad at Florida State.
That was an actual transcript from that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Deep Southern accent. Yeah.
And if we get the more snaps here, look, 7.5 will seem like a gift. And if we don't, and if we get the same amount of snaps, then it won't. And then we'll be sweating this a lot. But I think that I think this one is one that I feel fairly confident. I have this closer to 12 yards. And so with that, it's a pretty big edge for me.
By the way, Dalvin Cook, unrelated to this, also asking out of New York now.
Mecole Hardman again. Yeah. Let's just go back. Just go back to Minnesota.
Just go back.
Yeah. Get me out of here. Let's go.
Your other one here is in the Jags game.
Yeah, I wanted some sort of exposure to the Jags, and I just couldn't quite pull the trigger on them. When Kelly and I were talking about this on that Sunday show, when we were looking at it, and it was 2, and I thought that maybe it was baked in that they were still worried about Trevor Lawrence being injured or something. I thought that this would for sure get to 3 or on the other side of 3. That I was wrong. It does look like it's trending to 3 right now. It is juiced 2.5 now on the Jags in this one, but I wanted some sort of exposure. And Kirk, for whatever reason, has kind of taken over with the number one role from Ridley. I think they wanted Ridley to be the one when they started the season, couldn't figure it out. And
it looked like he would be for a second.
And then they just kind of reverted back to what they know best. Or maybe it was Lawrence's decision. Maybe Lawrence, like, you know what, I like throwing him better. I like the routes he runs better. I like all that. And so for those reasons, I think that he's still being looked at and treated in the prop market as if he's kind of more of a either a 2 or a high-end kind of 1B or something, where I think he's more the 1A there for this team. So with that, at 52.5, which that number is still available juiced, and 53.5 is actually readily available at normal juice out there. I had him closer to 70 yards, you know, in this game. And so with that, I feel pretty good about putting Kirk in the account.
I actually just bet this before the show too. Tailing you and Adam Chernoff, who I think he had a similar breakdown about the receiving stuff on his podcast this morning. Was listening to that talking about if you look at the route tree that they have kind of Calvin Ridley running this year, it's so vastly different than what he did in Atlanta. And Adam was kind of making the point. They think this is probably something they're going to work on during the break. But they've been using Christian Kirk as their man beater, and that's what they're really going to be going up against in Pittsburgh with that.
Yeah, defense. I mean, if you look, he's running routes on 87% of the dropbacks out there. He's getting a quarter target share. I mean, if you're getting 25% target share, that's what we're looking for as it is anyway, right? And so, and he's getting over a quarter of the air yard. So if we're looking for yardage here as opposed to receptions, we're looking for the 52. I mean, he's getting 27% of the Lawrence's air yards as well. So I like it a pretty good amount.
All right. Matt has given us one side. He had Seattle earlier in the week at 2.5. Still recommends it at 3.5 against the Cleveland Browns. He's got 2 more sides, one of which the number isn't there yet either, but it does bring up a big conversation about the value of starting to back up quarterback in a specific situation. We'll get into that. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Chance Copperpot, in addition to saying, hey, now that the field goal kicks are behind us, where's the eggnog challenge? He just wants to point that out. He says, I love the Kirk prop, the Christian Kirk prop, Matt. He says, I'm on that as well. Pulled the trigger last night. Best of luck. And Banshees of Atlantic City, Gil, never mind the Tuchus push. Thank you for saying that correctly. The play that should be banned is most tedious play in football. The try to draw them offside, take the penalty and punt nonsense.
Yeah.
He says, the penalty for delay of game on fourth down should be 50 yards and loss of down. Stop it.
Was that Chester Copperpot? Was that Chester? Goonies reference.
Chance, that's where he goes for the name.
Chester Copperpot. It's a Goonies reference. Did you watch the Goonies?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he goes by Chance Copperpot. I thought that was the whole reason it was Chance Copperpot.
No, it's Chester Copperpot. Was the Goonies guy who went missing. He was the guy who was looking for One-Eyed Willie's gold, and he was the one
who left the map
and all the stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Are you saying that Chance Copperpot's had his name wrong all this time on Twitter/X?
I don't know. Chance has been a listener, a longtime listener to the show, and I thought he tweeted in one time that that's where he got the name from.
We got into this conversation a little bit off air regarding the whole Kirk vis-a-vis Calvin Ridley thing with the Jaguars. And I was just talking about, like, when these quarterbacks get fixated, and we talked a little bit about, or I brought it up, Matt Stafford getting fixated on Cooper Kupp, and how the Rams appear to be worse, at least they are statistically in terms of points per game, since Kupp's return, because as I said earlier in the week, he is so fixated on getting the ball to his boyfriend at all times, his podcast partner. And Puka Nacua, I just want to get the Offensive Rookie of the Year here. And again, full disclosure, I have Puka Nacua, Offensive Rookie of the Year. But also full disclosure, I've said, well, a quarterback like C.J. Stroud, I get it, a quarterback should be the short shot to win an award like this if he performs well. But are Nacua's stats so over the top good at this point that in reality, he really might win this now? Because there's nothing, like, think how we thought about Ja'Marr Chase last year at this point. Nacua has two fewer yards receiving than Chase did at this point. And by the way, well past the record for most receptions as a rookie through seven games. I almost feel like we're getting to a point where it's like, I don't care that C.J. Stroud's a quarterback. What this dude is doing is largely unnoticed and epically historical.
Yeah, I mean, who should and who will, I think, are the two like unfortunate things with this. And it's like, you know, what Nacua has done so far, obviously from a statistical standpoint, he should be the favorite and he should actually, maybe go on to win it long season, whatever. We still have half a season left or whatever, but they're going to always shade towards a quarterback. And for a little bit of it, I kind of get it because it is such an incredibly hard position to play, and to be able to play it competently as a rookie is a pretty major achievement. So I get why they want to go that direction. But yes, statistically, Puka Nacua should certainly be the favorite if we're going off nothing but numbers. I think the one that's like interesting, that's lingering out there, but his odds have shrunk down to, I mean, like, Jordan Addison's usage for the Vikings is getting to a point where he is going to be true wide receiver, depending on when Jefferson can come back, right? I mean, the injury news this year has been so wonky.
Yes.
That I'm like, I don't know who to trust or what to trust or any time frame or any sort of anything. So maybe he's back in the next couple of weeks, which we thought, but maybe not. And if that's the case, like, Addison is getting just elite usage and just ridiculous amounts of stuff piling on. So he's at least kind of maybe an interesting hedge on the Puka Nacua.
And remember that, by the way, C.J. Stroud -210, Puka Nacua 3-1, Jordan Addison 15-1 at DraftKings for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And remember, like, those primetime action, we used to do like segments on end of you just going through injury reports.
Yeah.
If we did that now, you'd just be like, I don't know if any of this is true.
Yeah, it's seriously like they're just playing a game now. And it's probably right, you know, that they're playing a game with all of this. So the Bijan Robinson thing is this, we're about to get into sports talk radio, but it is whatever. And then we'll get back to the games. But so the Bijan Robinson thing, where they're actually going to look into that from an NFL standpoint. I'm actually glad the Bijan thing happened last week, because this is something that needs to be addressed. Like, they didn't have to report him as sick or injured or whatever, because he did get a handful of snaps. He got like six snaps or something like that. But they knew on Saturday that they were not going to use him, quite as much. They even said as much. He started feeling not good on Saturday. Us as bettors, us as in the NFL, even as fantasy, you know, as big as fantasy is, and all these people that only watch the NFL because they're watching their fantasy players and all that. I know you maybe don't have to make an official something, but like there's got to be at least a sideline reporter, whatever. Like someone's got to come in and say like, yeah, yesterday Bijan Robinson came down with whatever he came down with. They said they might even only give him a handful of snaps. To get that out there, because again, like everybody, I mean, if you know the guy's only going to play 5 or 6 snaps, what are we doing here?
I got a cousin to that this year is what we saw this week is after the games are even played, we find out that guys that have played entire games, like Brock Purdy with a concussion, Tyreek Hill with whatever injury is ailing him at the moment, like, oh, these guys, remember midweek this week, we're like, well, they might neither is going to play this week. Purdy's not going to. Yeah. Tyreek will. But that's the other thing that sort of happened this year is guys that you watch play entire football games, you're unaware until days after the fact, and you've already made bets, right?
At least this is going to change, because the NFL's going to Atlanta and saying, like, hey, if you knew this on Saturday, what gives? So, I mean, I think it'll a good will come from the bad, and we as bettors and fantasy players and all the different people out there that got burned by the Bijan Robinson situation this past week, something will come of this. There will be a, hey, listen, even though the official injury report is Friday and you don't have to file the actives inactives until Sunday at 90 minutes before, if you know something's going on, you've got to at least disclose something, because there's too much at stake here.
Cincinnati is one of your plays.
Yeah.
You got them earlier in the week. You got them at a much better number than exists now. You got them at north of 6. I still bet them at 3.5. And the reason that I did going up against the Niners is because I did not think the adjustment from Brock Purdy to Sam Darnold was enough.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people out there like, what are you talking about? It's just Brock Purdy. Didn't you see those two picks at the end of the game? Well, we found out he was concussed.
Yeah, his brain wasn't working properly.
We found out that. And I am higher on Brock Purdy than I still feel like the conventional wisdom is. And I eagerly grabbed the Bengals +3 in the hook. Dr. Bob had some numbers yesterday after I gave that pick where he's like, oh, you know what Joe Burrow is as a dog? Like, just amazing record in the NFL as an underdog. I don't know how you feel about that adjustment in points.
Yeah, I mean, it's they were trying so incredibly hard to not have to play Sam Darnold this year. Like, they wanted Brock Purdy to be the starting quarterback so incredibly bad, and there was a reason for that. Like, they were trying to get him back from injury. They're like, no, Brock's our guy, Brock's our guy, Brock's our guy, because they did not want Sam Darnold to be quarterback. He is probably a very fine backup situation where you feel comfortable that he's not going to completely go out there and light this thing on fire, but he's not NFL starting quality. And with this, to like get more into your handicap, Gil, also, you have to assume, if we believe that Burrow, if you believe what they're telling us, that each and every week he's getting healthier, right?
Coming off a rest
week. Coming off of a rest week in which he probably just sat there and got massages and had his leg elevated and there was ice on it the whole time, you know? So you have to assume, like, not only is the 49ers going to be a downgrade, but you should be upgrading Cincinnati which then meets us at that number.
That's exactly right. And by the way, the only other thing about the Darnold thing, because I'm sure someone's thinking that out there, wasn't there a moment in the preseason where the Niners were touting him so heavily that for a moment you're like, he may start? Like, didn't it feel like that at one point in the preseason? Yeah.
When they were still questionable as to whether Purdy was going to make it back.
Yeah.
And then when they saw that the window that he might actually be there, they were like, no, we're Brock's our guy. Yeah. Brock's our guy. We're rallying around Purdy here. But all honesty, this is kind of a convergence of two different handicaps here, which is the downgrade at starting quarterback for one team.
That's exactly right.
And the perceived upgrade for the other team. Because if we truly believe what they were telling us, that each and every week Joe Burrow's calf was getting better and better and better, coming out of a bye, this should be the best version of Burrow we've seen all season long. And there were at least signs that this defense was starting to kind of figure it out again. Like, that was the biggest disappointment for Cincinnati so far this year, outside of the offense kind of sputtering because the quarterback was broken. But the defense was not playing anywhere close to what they were last year. But the last 2 weeks heading into that bye, we saw kind of start to get a little bit closer. And so with that, I think it's a downgrade for one, an upgrade for the other. And then, on the other side of 3, I think it's still too much.
Give us 45 seconds on the Falcons play.
Yeah, Falcons, and Kelly hates himself because I said, hey, Kelly, this look ahead right here from the Falcons, if you want to get a plus number on one that's definitely going to move on the other side of this, because Ryan Tannehill's not going to play this week. This is the only injury news I've gotten right, like, in this, through 7 weeks of the season or whatever, is the Ryan Tannehill.
Why do I hate myself?
You know, like, did you get it in?
Yeah, I teased it up. He was, I got it, okay. So I've got plus 7.5 to close out a team.
Oh, okay.
Kelly, yeah. He was just talking in general.
But I mean, this was
that was much more applicable.
This was yet another one of those things. Like we've preached it on this show, and I'm going to do it each and every week. If you get the Twitter list, if you get the guys, if you get these beat reporters, just hidden in a bye week last week because they were on bye, right? Like hidden in a bye week last week was this beat reporter. Like, yeah, I was at the facility today, and Tannehill's in a cast, and like whatever. I'm like, huh. Well, that seems bad, you know? And so like, I'm like, this is going to be Malik Willis or Will Levis. So I will gladly play against either one of those guys. And here we are.
And it's Levis in the end.
Yeah, and it's Levis.
And it's Levis. Matt Brown, everybody, co-host with Mike Somich of The Handle, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, and the All Angles podcast, where Matt just goes on about the NFL from his perspective. Thank you, sir, as always.
Good luck on your Week 8 bets, everyone.
Matt Brown coming back. College football with the Mayor, Chris Felica, and Dr. Bob next. Dan Le Batard on DK next. Enjoy.